Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are here with my good friend and colleague, Rob Woodfork at WTOP. He's, you know, WTOP sports reporter. You hear him all the time, but I wanted to have him come in because he's also the resident Marvel and superhero expert of the station. Rob, thanks for doing this.
Hey, man, this is always a pleasure. And I don't know if I can take that title from our own Dimitri Sotis. He's pretty heavy into the Marvel universe, too, but I'll wear the mantle at least for now.
You can wear that cape because well, I guess it's not a cape. It's like a suit with claws.
Yeah, right.
But you can wear it. I wanted to have you because you and I went and saw the first Black Panther screening together. And you just knew it was going to be a monster, you know, phenomenon. And I wanted to have you on because this, you know, with Wakanda Forever coming out this weekend, it's more than just, hey, we're going to review this movie. It is like a cultural phenomenon that sort of transcends just a typical movie review. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of tag team this. So before we get to the new movie, the sequel, let's go into that original one that you and I went and saw together. Why do you think it was such the phenomenon that it was? I mean, the answer's kind of obvious, but I want to hear, you know, just you articulate it. Why you think it was such like an overdue moment?
And I'm trying to think back. I think I might have written the column about it. I think you did a review and then I wrote a column about the significance.
That's what it was. We did a sidebar piece and the review. Yep.
Right. And I meant to consult that again before this, but I mean, that's culturally significant because, you know, throughout cinema and certainly in the superhero genre, you know, Black characters are generally supporting characters, if that, you know, if not just one of the guys that's getting, you know, beat up on the way to the big baddie.
Right.
So in this particular case, to have that, to see Black excellence, because this is, you know, Wakanda sort of portrayed as this utopia that's like so far advanced beyond anything we've ever seen. And then to see sort of that mesh between technology and tradition, and just to see a Black, predominantly Black nation thriving in that way, it has a significance that's not unlike what the Cosby Show used to be, to sort of paint that picture, you know, where you see, you know, black excellence. So it is important from that vein. And it was interesting to see how from that first movie to the second film, how they sort of pivot, because Chadwick Boseman was so at the forefront and at the center of that first film, to see how they sort of move away from him and try to reconcile what happened to him in real life and versus what happens to the character. That was interesting to see play out.
Yeah, I want to get in. Let's go ahead and go there about, you know, the loss of Chadwick Boseman, because, I mean, he was such a iconic. It's so bizarre to have such an iconic role, and then suddenly he's just no longer with us on the planet. That shortly after, none of us knew what he was battling, and which just says so much more about him and his work ethic. It's insane. But do you remember where you were when you heard that news and your reaction? Because I can't lie. I actually, that was one of the ones that, you know, along with maybe like Robin Williams, that really made me tear up. That really hit me hard.
I mean, and I didn't want to believe it at first. I think I sort of, you know, because us in the news business, it's like we need two sources before we go with this.
Yeah.
And so that was one of those cases where I'm just like, yo, I need to see a couple of different outlets with this news before I believe it. Because, right. I mean, like you said, we didn't even know he was sick.
He came out of nowhere.
Right. And so, I just remember being floorboard. I don't remember where exactly I was, but I just remember seeing that and just like, wait, what?
Yeah. Was there a period there did you think like, okay, well, they shouldn't touch this. They should just let it, you know, die with him? Or I guess speak to that, or how maybe you could understand if some people said that, but then overall you're like, no, the show must go on. He probably might have wanted it that way. And, you know, let's see if we can address it respectfully.
I think, all right. So that's interesting, because I was talking about this with my buddy Andrew. We were talking about this actually for
Andrew
a while.
From Clyde's. Check him out. Leave a big tip.
That's right. Best bartender in DC. Tell your friends. So
best bartender.
So he and I were talking about it, and he was kind of the mind, hey, let's recast the role. you know, because I feel like there was still more to T'Challa's story to be told. And I said, you know what, for me, it's like, I can see that point of view, but at the same time, it's like that story was going to come to a close at some point. If you know the source material, if you know the comic arc, the Black Panther mantle does get passed down, you know, later on. And so did they do it a movie before they had planned to? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But I still feel like this was a, this story was still very well told, even without having him there. So it's like, you know, and really at the center of it, it was, and I read this going into the movie. I did read up on it before I went to see it. And what Ryan Coogler had said was that loss was always going to be at the center of this movie, even if we still had Chadwick Boseman, even if we still had the T'Challa character in this, loss was still going to be at the heart of it. That was going to be the theme regardless, because even if he was in it, like, you know, we get to see how he grappled with, because remember, for the events of Infinity War, he was one of the guys who got snapped away.
Oh, he disappeared. He incinerated. Yes.
Right. So it's like he's gone for 5 years. And it's like then you just come back and in 5 years, you've lost 5 years of your life. And so that
kind
was
like the pandemic for a lot of people, right? We can all relate a little bit to the blip.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So that was supposed to be at the heart of it if he ended up being in the movie. But this particular case, now it becomes, you know, losing him. And actually the movie opens with a funeral sequence, and you know, and then almost right away we're sort of moving into, you know, Chadwick is not here. Here's how everybody's kind of, you know, grappling with that and having to deal with that.
Are you sort of like crying in the theater there in the beginning? Because, well, hey, let me say that I'm glad that there wasn't a bunch of other business, and then we somehow, you know, show the character getting off or something. Like, I think it's powerful that it happened sort of how we experienced it. Boom, he's gone. Oh my gosh, now we're gonna open this next chapter. What is it? In medias res, or however you say it, and we're now mourning what we are mourning in real life. I mean, do you think that's smart? And B, was it a very emotional thing to witness in the theater?
I thought it was interesting that we had to confront it right away. I think we knew that was going to be part of it. I mean, even in the trailers and so forth, you saw, you know, sort of a glimpse of the funeral sequence. So, so I thought it was good that they led with it. Shuri's handling of it, of the loss, is something that's pretty key, is pretty central, is pretty much what the movie is centered around.
And by the way, we don't want to give any spoilers.
No, I'm not gonna. Yeah, I'm not giving spoilers. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm trying to choose my
her
words
handling
carefully.
Of
so
it.
Give it. Yes, yeah. Yes. So, right. How she handles loss, and I won't say who or what or how.
Yeah.
How she handles loss is at the center of this movie, and, you know, and even with the lead antagonist, you know, how you deal with loss, how you deal with the challenges of moving on without loved ones, and how you approach certain things in the wake of that. That's at the heart. That's at the center of it.
So we have I mean, because the first one, you know, Michael B. Jordan was such an awesome, one of the all time great antagonists, probably, right, as Killmonger. But, you know, he dies at the end of the first one. So in this one this is so hard without spoiling. But are we allowed to say who the antagonist is, or can we?
I think that's pretty well.
It's pretty from the trailers and stuff. Yeah. People know.
Namor.
Yeah. So explain sort of how the antagonist Namor, who is it? Tenoch Huerta.
Yeah.
The actor.
Yeah. He's of Mexican descent, which, by the way, that's something that another aspect of this film that is interesting, is that, you know, they touch on so many different cultures, and, you know, so he's the king of, in very much like an Aquaman, He's the king of what is basically an underwater utopia. You know, it's not unlike Wakanda. And so you have you know, him trying to rule in a lot of the same, and basically, and you know, I hate to just kind of say it this way, but if you you know, if you saw Aquaman, you understand a lot of some of the challenges that he's dealing with, and some of the things that he's you know, that he's trying to accomplish in terms of protecting his people from the surface world. And you know, at one point he's looking to wage war on the surface world, and he wants Wakanda to be an ally. And so, you know, his relationship with Shuri, and I won't, you know, divulge how, you know, how any of that comes about, but
sure.
With his relationship with Shuri, you know, that becomes sort of the integral piece of the movie, is how the two of them relate to each other, how they reconcile their differences in approach to, you know, the outside world. And, you know, and that was really just watching the way that relationship evolved was something that was pretty compelling. And also, you touched on something with the Michael B. Jordan that called to mind another point, and that is that the villains, you know, quote unquote villains,
right?
You know, it's so many times in film, there's like a clearly defined good guy and bad guy.
Right.
And I think that they've done a good job, more so. And I feel like this has been the case in a lot of movies nowadays, but especially with the Black Panther movies, is that you understand where the antagonist is coming from.
Right.
And it's like, they're not just rooted in wanting to see the world burn just to see the world burn. Like, it's right. A very complicated.
Right. Even Thanos had his reasonings, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, exactly. Like, and that's what I'm saying. It's like the, you know, quote unquote villains in these movies, like they're it's rooted in logic.
Yeah.
It's rooted in reason. It's rooted in things that are, you know, inherently, if you were in their position, like you would, you know, maybe you would even do some of the things that they're doing.
Right.
I mean, obviously they're taking very drastic, you know, takes or actions, but it's like they're relatable, and it's just like, oh, they're evil, we have to stop them.
Some cookie cutter Bond villain or something.
It's a very yes, exactly. It's very
Killmonger
layered.
Talks
it's
about,
very...
you know, the legacy of, like, you know, slave ships, and you're like, he's got a point. You know,
yeah.
Like you can relate to the villain.
I mean, they got whole t-shirts. Killmonger was right.
Right.
<You know>?
Right.
It's like, I don't own any of those t-shirts, but you know, at the same time, it's like he's got some points.
That's the key to a compelling movie. Yeah.
And you'll see some of that in this movie as well. You'll be like, Namor is a little strong here, but
awesome.
I don't disagree with everything he's saying.
Awesome. Well, thanks for, you know, taking us into Namor, the villain, and it's cool that you're saying Shuri. You know, it's pretty much her movie in a big way. Letitia Wright.
Yeah.
I know she had some sort of like Twitter, you know, controversy or whatever a couple of years ago, but I'm glad they kind of stuck with her as a main. We all love that character. I always thought it was cool that like the smartest person in Wakanda was this young Black.
And they also introduce another character. Riri Williams, the way that they work her in. There was, I think one of the complaints that I had was I would have liked to have seen Marvel take the Riri Williams character and maybe have a Disney Plus movie that would have come out sometime before Black Panther, so that you introduce her in a way that's not as, I don't want to say hurried. I don't feel like it was hurried, but it didn't sit right with me that this was the first time we saw Riri Williams. I feel like that character needed to be introduced beforehand, but otherwise it was
a little
very
jarring,
well,
but
right. And, but otherwise it was very well done. The underwater sequences, again, this is where Andrew and I disagreed, is that I thought the underwater sequences were better visually than they were in Aquaman, simply because Aquaman, it felt like it was very CGI-y. And so with this movie, the underwater sequences weren't distracting you from what was happening. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So I would say, I mean, I would give it. Well, what's the star system here? Was it 4 stars?
I moved it up to 5 stars a couple years
ago.
Moved
it up to 5. Okay,
just because it gave me a little more leeway to, you know, a little more range.
I'd give it 4.5.
All right, cool. So if original Black Panther was a 5 out of 5, this would be 4.5. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes, but I'm also going to see it again this week. I wish we were doing this after the next viewing, because I'm going to see it again this weekend, and I'll probably have stronger opinions one way or the other. But
you'll pick up some more stuff. Yeah,
absolutely. But it was a
soundtrack, because that was such a big deal. You know, Kendrick Lamar at the stars, the whole thing last time. How's the music this time around?
Oh, the soundtrack was outstanding. They did integrate that throughout the film quite a bit, so it's not just something you're hearing, you know, at the you know, separately at the end of the movie or what have you, but they did work it in, and I liked it.
Cool. I know you're up against the clock real quick. Any other standout performances in addition to the ones that we talked about? Winston Duke, you know, Angela Bassett, the rest. Who gets some time to shine here? Lupita?
All of the people that you just named. Winston Duke steps to the forefront in a way that you hadn't seen in the previous movie, because you were missing that, you were missing T'Challa. It also bears pointing out that pretty much every strong character in this movie is female. So, yeah. It's very empowering from that standpoint, and I don't think we missed anything because of it. I don't think we missed a thing. I think it was strong, on its own, and I think it's going to do well.
What was the warrior? Is it Okoye? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Okoye, and her role has some changes in it throughout the movie, and same with Riri Williams. So it's definitely one to go check out.
Awesome. Well, you got to let you run to go to your sports report in 1 minute. Go talk Georgetown hoops. Yeah. But you think overall good grade? Cross the arms.
Yes.
Forever.
Still 4.5 stars. 4.5 stars.
All right, Rob Woodfort. Thanks so much.
Love it.
All right. Thanks for doing that, man.
Hey, man. You got it.
Later.
Later, man.